questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network through the studios of Fine Music 102.5. In this program, we will be bringing you entertaining and informing conversations with a wide range of interesting people on the topics of fatherhood and masculinity and related topics. I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today in the studio is Adrian Burgess. Adrian was born in Brisbane and raised in Canberra, although she now lives in London with her husband and daughter. She's been writing professionally since the age of 18, and she's the author of Fatherhood Reclaimed. She's been a policy and research advisor to the UK government, and her most recent work has been done in the area of paternity leave, which is where we're going to start today. So, Adrian, hello and welcome to the program.
Fine. Lovely to speak to you from London. Hi.
Hi. So, Adrian, perhaps we might start if you could just tell us what exactly we mean by the expression paternity leave.
Paternity leave technically means time off around the birth. And the whole idea of it was that it's what they call a health leave. It's a leave to support the mother who's just given birth. So that's what paternity leave means technically. It has been extended in common usage to mean any kind of leave that fathers might take. So a leave you might call paternal leave, a leave that's taken by men. But that's its origins.
Yes, because I think in Australia there's it often gets interchanged with parental leave. There seems to be some confusion between the two terms.
Yes, not just in Australia. That's an issue worldwide. It's used to mean parental leave, and in some countries they've almost done away with the whole idea of paternity and maternity leave and gone really for what you might call parental leave. So in Iceland, for example, they have only parental leave, and mothers have 3 months and fathers have 3 months, and the family have another 3 months that they can use as they will. So that if the family wants the mother to take 6 months off, then she could take her 3 months plus the communal 3 months, if you like. But in fact, in Iceland now, increasingly, fathers take some of that communal leave as well. So that's the most egalitarian system in the world.
Yes, and look, I'm sure you've found some very interesting facts, or you've made some interesting findings in researching this topic. Perhaps you might just tell us some of the good and the bad things about paternity leave.
I can't think of any bad things. Paternity leave is very important for families. It's very important for mothers too. This is a leave that enables parents to come together and care for a new baby, and that's really important. When there's a second child, of course, for the dad to be there is, you know, enormously helpful in a different way. They're not adjusting to being parents, but there's another child to take care of. So, you know, I can't think of a bad thing to say about paternity leave, really. I think that the parental leave, where you extend it and make it that parents can choose, or that the leave is available to either parent, this is very important. And because parental leave and paternity leave are means by which you can bring about, you can meet the needs of modern families for start, because women are increasingly, of course, employed. And if women take too much time out of the workforce, then they become very much second-class citizens in employment, and we know that this goes on right into older age, with women's pensions being, you know, women earning less, they're working part-time jobs, and having a child can, you know, there's a motherhood penalty that lasts for life. So that when you encourage, as Iceland has done, men to be equal carers in children, with children, this is very important for gender equality. It's also very good for business, because when mothers are out of the workforce for longer than 6 months, it's very tough for business to handle that. And when men and women are likely to take leave, then businesses have to adjust. They can't just think, oh, well, women, they're going to do it part-time, and that, so we won't invest in their training. We won't, if they're coming off and have babies, what's the point? If you have men just as likely to take leave, then the whole culture of the workforce changes, as well as the dynamics within the family.
Well, it's interesting you say that this promotes gender equality, because I think you've even been attacked by some on the feminist side, haven't you, for promoting this?
Yes. Well, not, yes. I mean, feminism, you know, feminism, like any movement, is a very broad church. And, you know, different people will say what they think is good for women. So, yes, I have been attacked by some women, and of course by a lot of men, who, I mean, men used to attack me and say, oh, she just wants men to take leave so that the women can have all the good jobs. That was a good one.
Heard
that a few times.
Yes.
And women have attacked me by basically saying, look, you can't trust men, they'll never do it. So what you need to do is just give the men the minimum, and give the women really good rights, lots of leave, and then if the employers start treating them like second-class citizens, use legislation to pull the employers into line. There's no point in giving men leave. They're not going to be up to it. What they'll say is you should have a system where if the woman wants to give the leave to the husband, to the partner, then she can. But they try to, that branch of feminism tries to make the whole thing owned by the mother, so that you don't have genuine parental leave. What you have is, huge maternity leave. This is what we've got in the UK. We've got 52 weeks of maternity leave and 2 weeks of paternity leave. And the whole idea is that the mother can transfer some of her maternity leave to the father if she wants to. So why this is really bad is that there are lots of situations where the mother doesn't have maternity leave. You know, she wasn't employed for long enough. She has, she was unemployed. You know, where you have a system of transferable leave, only about a third of couples will be eligible.
Yes,
so only about a third of fathers will be eligible to take the leave.
Yes, I mean, that's the first hurdle. You've got the eligibility question. But then I guess the other consideration is, if it comes down to who's going to take the leave, you'd be more inclined for the person earning the higher money to stay at work rather than the other one, which I guess is often the mother. So
yes, I mean, absolutely. That's a major reason. But you can't always assume that men are going to be earning more these days. So certainly in poorer families, there really isn't a gender pay gap. You know, we talk about the gender pay gap, women earning less. You hear about film stars where the women in the program earn less than the men, and all this is true. But certainly in poorer families, well, modest incomes, there isn't a gender pay gap. But none of them are very well paid. And in other families too, women, of course, are coming along. They're now over 50% of students in accountancy, medical school, these kind of professions that will pay relatively well. So people do partly make their decision on the economics of it, but they also think ahead. So that, let's say that she is earning the same or slightly more or even quite substantially more than he is. They kind of think to themselves, oh, well, by the time she's had time off for a couple of kids, then she won't be, so we need to concentrate on dad's wages. The family think this. And so they don't think at all. What's most common is that they don't think at all. Mum starts to take time off, then she gets better at it. Gets better at looking after the baby, not because women are innately better at it, but absolutely not, but because she has a lot more practice. And then the dad feels a bit excluded, and then he starts to justify his existence by saying, oh, well, but I earn the money. And she is annoyed because she's feeling let down, but at the same time, she gets an identity from being a mum. You know, to be a mum, you know, it's almost a holy role in lots of ways. And so, therefore, gradually the family fall into these very gender stereotype roles. It's very common, not universal, but very common. And this has pretty bad ramifications down the line, because as the women fall behind in earning, then if the family splits up, and about 50% of families will, with children, will split up, then she can't support the children, and he hasn't got this close relationship with them that will survive the breakup. So this is not good. It's really quite actually very important that countries make it possible for fathers and mothers to take leave to care for young children, so that the patterns of caring are established very early on. Both partners become skilled and confident with looking after children, and both partners keep a foot in the marketplace. I can't think really why that wouldn't be good. That seems to me to be overall and in the longer term absolutely the best arrangement.
Yes, and we're speaking with Adrian Burgess, the joint CEO and head of research at the Fatherhood Institute. And we're talking today about something we all need to be giving some more thought to, and that's the subject of paternity leave. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song by a British group called The Beatles. This song is called Girl.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story, all about the girl who came to stay? She's the kind of girl you want so much it makes you sorry. Still, you don't regret a single day. Oh, girl. Girl, girl. When I think of all the times I've tried so hard to leave her, she will turn to me and start to cry. And she promises the earth to me, and I believe her. After all this time, I don't know why. Oh, girl. Girl, girl. She's the kind of girl who puts you down when friends are there, you feel a fool. When you say she's looking good, she acts as if it's understood she's cool.
And welcome back to Dad's on the Air. That was the Beatles singing Girl, talking about a man having to break his back to earn his day of leisure. So we're speaking with Adrian Burgess, the joint CEO and head of research at the Fatherhood Institute, on the topic of paternity leave. Adrian, there is a lot of research. There are a lot of real life examples around the world of how paternity leave works. In some cases, in Denmark, for instance, I think it's been there for about 30 odd years. So why aren't the good effects that we've seen in these countries more well known around the world, in Australia and the UK, for instance?
Yes, I mean, Australia's been very, very behind the times in all this, and I was very disappointed to see when the new system came in that it was still based on a primary carer model. You know, the whole idea that one person's the primary carer and you might let the other one have a bit of leave. And, and you know, women need, obviously, to get over the birth and have a special time to recover. And that's normally considered to be 12 to 13 weeks. However, there's an obvious variation within this. So, for example, a woman I was talking to the other day who, by the time she had her second child, she said, oh, I was ready to go back to work after 2 weeks. It's not an illness. And my partner was an at-home dad, and that was fine. So, you know, what you have to have is a system that allows for flexibility and choice, not thinking of everybody, all women, as ill and needing to recover for a long time, looking at the needs of breastfeeding. But, you know, the breastfeeding is addressed, can be addressed in very many ways, partly by flexible working, so that when women work, they can work part of the time from home when infants are young. Lots of jobs could do that. Lots of jobs can't, but lots can. And then, of course, breastfeeding facilities at work where, you know, that's also a very good way of addressing breastfeeding. So in Iceland, where they have this astonishingly egalitarian system, 3 months for mum of leave, 3 months for dad, and 3 months for the family to choose and use as they like, they have incredibly high breastfeeding rates. So it doesn't mean that it interrupts breastfeeding. It just breastfeeding has to be looked at in the whole. Iceland has, you know, the experiment in Iceland. I mean, somebody once said to me, with parental leave, what you've got, this person said to me, looking across Europe, for example, she said to me, oh, it's a cauldron out there, meaning there's a cauldron, like a witch's cauldron, of experimentation going on with all these different countries trying different things. So when in 2003, in this country, it was brought in 52 weeks for mothers, 9 months of which is paid at a low level, most of it, and 2 weeks for dads. My colleague, Tom Beardshaw, who was on my team, who was negotiating this with the government, he sat back in just despair and said, what you're doing is terrible for women. And they said, how could it be terrible for women to give them 52 weeks? He said, because they're going to be seen as the carers. Men, employers are going to discriminate against them. This is it. You're damaging the cause of gender equality. And they couldn't see it.
Yes, I was going to say, look, in Australia, it's pretty well entrenched. If you look at the fact sheets put out by the Department of Human Services, it actually says the primary carer is usually the birth mother. And you are considered to be the primary carer from birth, even if your child is in hospital. So the mother gets a sort of a default position.
Yes, and it's such a weird way of thinking about it. What, you know, what you have to think is children need care. Infants and children need care. When a mother has given birth, she needs to recuperate. Breastfeeding is in the mix. There's all these kind of things to be considered. But, you know, a lot of women don't breastfeed. I know we'd like them to, but they don't. Then there is adoption where the mother hasn't given birth. There's all these kind of complexities that are much better addressed by a model like Iceland, which says 3 months for mum, 3 months for dad. And what that means is that's what they call a use it or lose it benefit. If mum doesn't use the 3 months or dad doesn't use his 3 months, it's lost. The family doesn't get it. They can't transfer it to the other parent. So they've got 3 months for mum, 3 months for dad, and 3 months which can be used by other parents. So that's quite an inflexible, quite a rigorous system, and they introduced it in order to make a difference to gender equality. That was the driver, and it is having a transformative effect. Now, when you look next door but one, to Sweden, what you've had there is, yes, you know, like Denmark, they've had a system of potentially men being able to take leave since the 1980s. But it only really started to gather force in the mid-1990s when they created a non-transferable element in the leave. So they had parental leave. In Sweden, they have 2 weeks for mum, 2 weeks for dad, 4 weeks for mum if she's in a manual occupation, but, you know, roughly 2 weeks for mum, 2 weeks for dad. The rest of it is parental leave. The rest of it can be taken by either parent. Then they introduced a non-transferable element, what they called was the daddy month. It became known as the daddy month. So within the parental leave allocation, there was a daddy month. And then that meant they had to also create a mummy month, because you have to be equal. So what that means, effectively, in Sweden, and then they made a daddy 2 months, and then they made a mummy 2 months. So what you have in Sweden, if you really look at it, even though the first 2 weeks of the leave are called maternity leave or paternity leave, you do have a non-transferable element. So mothers, in effect, have to take 6 weeks or lose it. They don't, you know, they do not take it. It's up to them. But they won't get the money for it if they lose it. And similarly, the fathers have to take, it's not 6 weeks now, sorry, it's 10, because they've got the 2 weeks maternity leave, and then now they've got 2 months each of what's called the reserved leave. Now, as soon as you introduce a reserved leave, the use it or lose it benefit, and as soon as you pay it a decent rate, which it is paid at a decent rate in Sweden, then almost all the men take it. The women are going to take it generally anyway, but they do too. So then what you've got is a system already of this non-transferable leave, which defines the men as carers, and then the rest of it can be shared around. The problem with Sweden is that they can take the leave, I think they get 18 months per parent per child, quite a lot, or 18 months per child, something like that. But they can take it up to when the child goes to school, which in Sweden is when they're about 8. So what this means is that the father can take his leave, the reserved leave, and almost always does, but he can spread it out over years. And he can take it for a half a day, or a third of a day, a quarter of a day, or a whole day. So it can be dotted around. So you can take your leave, for example, to work 4 days instead of 5. And you get paid for the fifth day by the state, the leave bit. Mm. So you can do it every which way. And that's a very, very flexible leave. But it hasn't transformed gender relations. Even though Sweden has very high female representation in parliament, mothers have very high sickness rates in Sweden. They're off work a lot. And mothers they have very much occupational segregation. So women work in particular sections of the economy, and men in others. You know, it's still quite stratified. And I think that's partly the fault of the leave system, because if you have the leave, the reserve leave the dad has to take, within the first year, that's the key, because that starts to establish the man as the carer alongside the mum right from the beginning. So as my friend said, the cauldron of experimentation in Europe, we're learning from, and everyone who knows the field is sort of amazed at what's happened in Iceland. Yes. And even though everyone says, oh, it's only except a small country, you know, it's not applicable. At the same time, we all know that they've done something really astonishing, and it is absolutely transforming gender relations.
Yes, well, we have the opportunity in Australia, and we are in complete state of flux at the moment, but there is a new paid parental leave scheme due to begin on the 1st of July, although there's a lot of debate about that. I guess it seems unlikely at this stage. Currently, we seem to have all the worst features that you've described, but maybe if we can get the message across, something will come in by that July 1st or sometime next year under the Tony Abbott scheme. But Adrian, look, I'm sure we could go on talk about this at great length, but we're running out of time. So I asked if you had a particular song you'd like us to play for you, and I wonder if you could tell us what that is and why you chose it.
Right, I chose "Isn't She Lovely," because it's a dad singing about his baby, and I think there are quite a lot of musicians, of course, have written about their children, and what we don't hear very often or see in a very public way is men's absolute adoration for their children and their tenderness. And I think this song represents that very beautifully.
Yes, beautifully said. So this is Stevie Wonder.
Through love with thee.
And that was Stevie Wonder singing Isn't She Lovely? Don't forget that we have copies of our books to give away. So if you want to get in touch with us, please go to the website, www.dadsontheair.com.au. In the meantime, I'd like to very much thank our guest today, Adrian Burgess, for bringing us up to speed on the various strands of thought on this very important topic of paternity leave. So, Adrian, thank you very much for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to listen to this show again or go to any of our other shows, go to our website. That's dadsontheair.com.au. And we'll look forward to your company again next week.